Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Weigh In Sports Talk. Today is Sunday, October 28th. Tonight, our show is featured as staff picked on blogtalkradio.com. Our special guest interview tonight is Mike Blunk, former Auburn Tiger who played on the 2010 National Championship team. We would love to hear from you, and here are several ways to weigh in. Call us at 646-716-5564 or join us in the chat room at blogtalkradio.com/Tarvino, or follow us on Twitter at Weigh In Sports. Now here's your host, Brian Tarvin, and co-host Trey Patterson. Let's weigh in.
All right. Thanks, Michelle, for the introduction. Hello, everyone. Thanks for joining us tonight. We have a jam-packed show scheduled. And like Michelle said, we are staff-picked on blogtalkradio.com. And thanks, Blog Talk Radio, for staff-picking us. We hope for a great turnout, as we've been having a lot of those lately, and it's all because of all the great listeners and fans we have. And I'm joined tonight with the best co-host in the world, Trey Patterson, and I'm trying to fight this cold, but I think I can hold up maybe. Trey, how's your weekend been, man?
Oh, man, you can't complain. It's been a good weekend, always, man, always.
Well, you know, the other day I called this weekend in football what I call it, shake-up Saturday, I believe. And I think we had a few shake-ups in this DCS poll that we're going to talk about later. A lot of great games on Saturday, a lot of good games today as well. I don't think I'm going to win the pick'em this week, and I haven't calculated it, but what did you think about this weekend of football?
Well, I mean, you know, whether you call it shakedown Saturday, Tarvin, or separation Saturday, I mean, we did see a lot of people who really separated themselves from the national championship race. I mean, you know, whether good or bad, I mean, Alabama went out and showed us why they are number one. They hadn't played a whole lot of competition this year so far, but they went out and just basically dominated the game, which showed us, you know, hey, this is the number one team. Notre Dame, look what they did. They really put their name back on the national championship hunt, and, you know, who knows if they're playing Alabama for that national title. And then, you know, Kansas State looked good, you know, against their opponent. And then there's a lot of teams, Tarvin, we saw that didn't do so well. And I know we'll talk about that as well.
Yeah, you know, we have NFL to talk about, the games that we picked. The World Series is currently going on. And, you know, Trey, this is one of the years, I think there's been a couple that I remember, but this is one World Series that really I could care less about almost. It's been that boring.
Yeah, I mean, any time that you have a possible sweep going, I mean, the ratings aren't going to be good. Frisco's already up 1-0. The real story of this World Series has been, you know, again, all the you look at the top six high-priced big teams, the Tigers are one of those teams. You know, yeah, they got to the World Series, but their high-priced talent has done absolutely nothing. And they're getting, this is, you know, right now they're getting their third straight shutout. I mean, so Miguel Cabrera, Triple Crown winner, Prince Fielder, all that money, and nothing. They have nothing to show for it. And, you know, ho-hum, here comes that, you know, much less money San Francisco Giants are just destroying them.
Yeah, it goes to show, if you've been there before, it really makes a difference. It looks like the Giants knew all along they were going to take this series. They look like the better team, the more comfortable team. I mean, just a well-rounded team. It's just hard, you know, when you've never been in that stage, really, a lot of these players to really perform at the level of someone that's been there. So I think it's over. I think there's no shot Detroit wins four in a row. I mean, a 0% chance. And you know, another thing is that's happening, we're not going to talk about it tonight, but NBA basketball starts back Tuesday night.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the NBA, we had the NBA come out this week. You know, this is the week before the NBA season. I mean, how big is the trade that just happened? I mean, can you believe that the Thunder traded Harden away?
I'm shocked in a way, and so was Dwayne Wade, obviously. I read his quote, like he was absolutely stunned that this trade happened. Why would you do that? trade your one of your best players away when you're trying to beat the Heat, really?
Well, here's what I heard, Tarvin, from some sources, and for all you listeners out there, was that you know they had been working on a long term deal with Harden, and the negotiations broke down this week, and so the only thing I can think of is that basically they were at such an impasse that they thought they were not going to be able to sign Harden again after this season, and they were better off moving on immediately. I'm not sure that's true at all. I mean, it seems such an odd time to do it, right? But, you know, you've gone through training camp with Harden and the big three again. You know, I mean, obviously there's a gel between the three of those guys. And then right before the season, to really just mess, you know, extremely just mess with your dynamic. I just got to wonder, Tarvin, now the Thunder dropped way off the radar for me.
Yeah, I mean, you see what the Lakers did in the offseason. How they built their team. And I still don't know if that's good enough right now with their injuries and things to make them worry too much. But still, you have to make moves that strengthen your team, especially when you to at least win the West. And I don't think they did that. So it's going to be fun to see what happens. And we'll make our predictions, you know, Wednesday night, what we think is going to happen. But also tonight we have a bet. Lacey Key has the honor of bet she lost to Chris Smelly. You remember that from the other day. So, Lacey, when you're ready, you just need to press number one in the queue, and we'll get you on. And it won't take long for her to make good on this bet. But also tonight, an interview with Mike Blanc. I know a lot of people in the SEC know this guy. Mike Blanc played for Auburn 4 years. He was on the 2010 championship team. He went to the NFL, and he was undrafted, but he signed with the Pittsburgh Steelers. And he was released, but he's going to get back up with another team. He's just an all-around great guy, and I'm excited to play the interview. So we'll go ahead and get started on our show right now, Trey. Do you want to go ahead and get us going on our NFL?
Yeah, let me ask you, before we get to the NFL, Tarvin, there's one thing I did want to ask you about, you know, just touching on the NBA. You know, you talk about, somebody on our message board said it was a 14 league. But, you know, you talk about the Lakers. They didn't win a game in the preseason, and no team has ever won the NBA championship by doing that. So do you make anything of that statistic?
I'm sorry. I had trouble hearing you for a moment. What was the end of, what was that question? I apologize.
Yeah, the Lakers didn't win a game in the preseason, and no team in the NBA has ever won the title by going winless in the preseason. And I know it's the preseason, but there is a stat that the NBA has kept up with. So do you make anything of the Lakers being winless in the preseason?
Not with a team with this much talent, no. I think they're just trying to ease in, just get comfortable with each other, to learn the offense. No, I put no stock in the preseason, man. I know that's a great stat, but I really don't look at things like that in preseason when I'm determining who's going to win what. So, but that is a great stat to bring up, though, but I'm not going to fall for that one, Trey.
I don't know. I mean, we'll see. I think that this could be another year where, that stat does ring true because the Lakers are going to be there, but, you know, they're not guaranteed a title. But we'll break down the NBA probably on a Wednesday a little bit more. But, Tarvin, going into our NFL games, the first game was the 3-4 Redskins at the 3-3 Pittsburgh Steelers. This was actually a really good game. The Steelers played in some horrendous uniforms. What'd you have on this game?
Yeah, you're right. The uniform struck me as rather disturbing, honestly. It looked like Ben Roethlisberger was a bumblebee. So, I don't know. I look at this game. I didn't think it was a great game, honestly. When you 27-12, it looks like, you know, when I was looking at it, I saw Pittsburgh dominate both sides of the ball, and I saw RG3 on the road, you know, trying to move the ball and to get his team going, but Pittsburgh is starting, Trey, to take that next step. They're starting to take that step to get them towards the playoffs. So I don't look bad down on Washington for this play at all, but I do think Pittsburgh is head and shoulders right now above the Redskins, and it showed on the field today.
Now, one of the interesting things you saw out of the Redskins, I think there were 9 drop passes, which I think set the league record this year for drop passes in a game from the Redskins receivers. So, you know, one of the things the Redskins, they have, you know, they went out and got Morris late in the draft this year, and he's been a stellar find. Their defense has been pretty good. They are aging on defense, but, you know, obviously they got their few franchise quarterback now. But you got to wonder about receiver. I mean, you know, the guys in that team aren't really great at, you know, for receivers. I mean, they're dropping passes like they play for the Cowboys. So, you know, the receiver is a position they're going to have to address in the draft or the free agency in this next season because, you know, certainly they can't win a postseason game with the receivers they have right now dropping passes that way.
And at Pittsburgh, what are you looking at right now when you see a performance like that today, Ben Roethlisberger, Sharp? How do you think they're going to end up? Do you think they have a shot to make it deep in the playoffs this year?
I don't think they're going to make it very deep. I think they have a good chance to make the playoffs. I'm still, you know, they're awful banged up. You know, Troy Polamalu just can't stay on the field anymore. And then, you know, I'm looking at this team, and I know Dwyer had another 100-yard game, but I'm just not sold on him as a running back. I'm not sold on the tandem of him and Rainey. So we'll see. I think that this is a team that can be stopped if you get a good run defense who can force Roethlisberger to drop back 40 times in a game. I don't know they're going to have a lot of success running through the playoffs that way.
Also, looking at RG3 today, do you think the defenses are now starting to make adjustments now that there's more game film on this guy and they're starting maybe to see tendencies? You know, these defensive coordinators in the NFL are very sharp and they're very detail-oriented. They pick up on these tendencies. What do you think about it?
Yeah, I think obviously they're going to make adjustments on RG3 for sure. Part of that, I think, is going on, and you're going to see that most assuredly in the NFC East when he starts facing these teams a second time. I mean, this guy's got a lot of talent, but the Redskins just aren't a complete football team at this point. Somebody brought it up on the message board. They have a really, really bad secondary, and that's something that I forgot to mention when I was talking about them earlier. So, I mean, this is a team that's going to be trailing a lot, and they're just not going to have the opportunity to compete with every one of the teams they're playing because they're just not a complete football team right now.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. And next week, just a preview, we have RG3 versus Cam Newton. That should be a good game, a good matchup to watch. So take us home to number four.
You know, looking at our next game, Tarvin, this one, let me go to it here. This is going on right now. Yeah, I was going to say, show you, Willis McGahee just fumbled in this game, which is the 12th straight game the Denver Broncos have lost a fumble. So what do you think about this game so far?
Well, I see, you know, 7-0. Peyton Manning looks good. I mean, he looks sharp. He's going to get sharper as the weeks go on. But I look at the difference in this game is the home crowd and the defense of Denver being able to slow down Drew Brees, because the Saints right now have a lot of momentum heading into this week, and I hear a lot of chatter about the Saints winning this game. But as you and I both, I believe, picked, we think Peyton Manning's just a little too strong at home in this game. And also some payback on his mind from that Super Bowl loss he took to the Saints. But I'm not surprised right now, but I'm sure not surprised about the fumbling. Like you said, I didn't know exactly how many games it was in a row, but I knew it was a lot. But Saints are at the Broncos 29 right now, just started the second quarter, 7-0. So anything that's standing out to you in this game?
Well, so far, it's not a track meet, which is surprising. I think this game will get higher scoring. I think both you and I talked about taking the over in this game. We're not looking very smart, at least on that right now. But I think, well, there's some touchdown to Sproles. But I think this game's about to get out of hand. The defense has held their own in the first quarter. That was surprising for me. But I think in the second half, it's going to be all offensive-type schemes, and this is going to be a higher scoring game here soon.
I picked over, Trey.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. We picked the over, but, you know, it's not looking like a good over right now.
Yeah, but these quarterbacks are about, like you said, about to get going. So I wouldn't count myself out just yet on the 55 over-under. But, I mean, the Saints, I like the Saints, especially now that they're losing. I pull for them a little more. I really think Drew Brees is a class act. And I do think they were treated a little unfairly by the commish. But kudos to the Saints for showing up and competing. So we'll break down this game more Wednesday night. So let's move on to number three.
My number three game is actually tomorrow's night's game, the 49ers and the Arizona Cardinals. What do you think the key is in this game for the 49ers to win on the road?
For Alex Smith not to turn the ball over. That's the key for them to make sure. You know, he's a game manager. All he needs to do is hand off and make safe throws and let his defense in. But Arizona's defense is good. You know, as of late, they've been struggling, but at home on a Monday night, look for all of these Arizona players to elevate their game to another level. So just looking at that, Alex Smith can't turn the ball over. And if he doesn't, San Francisco will be fine.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a good point. I think if you look at the other side of the field, John Skelton is going to turn the ball over in this game. The 49ers defense will get to him. He's not a guy who can really move out of the pocket all that well. He's going to have to. And if you watch any of the Cardinals games this year when Skelton's in there, when they get him out of the pocket, he's just so erratic. So they're going to force him out of the pocket. They're going to force him to turn the ball over, and the 49ers are going to win this game.
Yep, and again, like this one, it's one of our games that hasn't finished yet. We'll talk about that at the first of the show on Wednesday.
All right, next time we got – this was actually a pretty interesting finale here. The Giants went on the road in Dallas and won a squeaker. They were up 23-0 at one point, but the Cowboys came all the way back, took the lead, only to lose this game. And Dez Bryant was a finger away from winning this game for the Cowboys. What do you think about the Cowboys come back?
Well, I mean, it takes a lot of heart when you're down 23-0 to a team of the caliber of the New York Giants. But, again, it's a rival. It's a division rival game. Both of these teams are familiar with each other. They both hate each other. They both respect each other. So it didn't shock me that Dallas came back, because when they got down 23-0, it was off silly turnovers, and it was still very early in the game. So Dallas stuck with their game plan and was able to still – throw the ball down the field. And the offensive line today held up better than I thought it would. I picked Dallas to win the game. And on that touchdown at the end of the game, they overturned. I mean, I'll look at it. I could tell why they did. But also, it could have been inconclusive, Trey. But I thought his wrist might have got down before his hand hit.
Yeah, I mean, it was a super close play. I was surprised the Cowboys were even there. I mean, Tony Romo was incredibly awful in the first part of this game. He is just so inconsistent at times. You know, you look at the Tony Romo in the first half and the Tony Romo in the second half. But even in the second half, in the fourth quarter, with less than 2 minutes to go, he throws another pick, his fourth of the football game. And you got to be wondering, one of the things that I was really concerned about as I was watching this game is they had 1 yard to go to get that first down. And the play calling they had, they could have easily just gone with a run, get the first down, then go back to the pass. I just really question the play calling, putting the ball in Romo's hands, and some of the play calling they had in that 1 yard to go situation. Great job on Romo coming back, but again, a lot of really bad decisions on his part throughout this game. And Dez Bryant and drop footballs. I mean, I don't know what else you need to do for this guy. Maybe he needs to go to San Diego and get some stick 'em.
I think honestly, what Dez Bryant needs is a counselor, a psychologist, somebody. Psychiatrists that can help him, because I think he has some deep issues. And I think, you know, football is a mental game. And when you see a player make drop pass, and you see this, but he hits big plays, there's something else going on. But I'm totally 100% with you, Trey. When I was watching this game, 2nd and 1 from the 19-yard line, and you're going to throw 3 times with Tony Romo. Is there a problem with lining up with a quarterback sneak? Anything, a run play, something. I mean, it's just, you have to extend the game, Trey. You have to make sure you get another first down or you hit a touchdown pass. I was very disappointed with the play calling. But again, that's Garrett. That's the head coach. That's his mentality. They need to be able to run the football. And even though their running back was out of the game, they can still get a yard with Felix Jones if they had to.
Yeah, I mean, they chose the package they were in. I mean, so – yeah, you're right. Again, Jason Garrett has come under fire many times for play calling like this. When it comes down to a very important play, Jason Garrett seems to call a very, you know, a play that the less than higher percentage play, I guess is the way I'll put it. You know, you had a chance to get an easy first down. Yeah, the clock's ticking, but you know, at that point in the game, you know, you got to get the first down first. I didn't like their play calling there. You know, great Tony Romo again. You know, great to even have a shot to win the game, but 4 turnovers, you know, that game should have been totally different if Tony Romo had any kind of discipline. I mean, this guy's been in the NFL way too long to be making basically rookie mistakes with the football.
Yeah, it's just carelessness. What do they have, 6 turnovers in this game?
Yep.
I mean, it's just, and Dez Bryant fumbling that punt return or a kickoff, whichever one it was. I mean, it's just stupid mistakes at home. So if you take away 6 turnovers for Dallas, what do you think the score could have been?
Well, I mean, Dallas could have won this game, but, I mean, you look at the NFL and you got to think, the two football coaches who should be on the hot seat, Romeo Crennel for the Kansas City Chiefs. I mean, just they've been an abomination of a football team. And then the other one's got to be Jason Garrett, just because of the talent that Jerry Jones is willing to bring in there, whether it works or not. I mean, you know, he expects results, and Garrett really hasn't given him any.
And Jerry wants some of that glory hole. You know, you heard his interview.
Yeah.
But he wants to win, and he's a very impatient person. And that's why I'm surprised Garrett's the head coach there. Either he has some dirt on Jerry Jones that he doesn't want leaked or something else, because he's not good enough to be the head coach of the Dallas Cowboys. And I've said that 100 times, and I'll never quit saying it. I just don't see him being that coach that can take him to the Super Bowl.
He just doesn't strike me as a guy who has the prowess on offense. There's nothing novel about what Dallas does on offense. There's no good use of their talent. I mean, they seem to, you know, why is Dez Bryant constantly in and out of the punt return? Either you trust him or you don't. And it's clear they probably shouldn't. So, I mean, decisions like that the head coach makes, he can't seem to make up his mind on a lot of things. So I just really question him as a football coach at this point. And, you know, I think Dallas may want to move on.
I'm 100% with you. And we'll see the Cowboys, see how this affects them going forward. And we'll also, looks like the Giants, Trey, took a huge lead in the East with Washington losing.
Oh, yeah.
And we're about our number one game. We're about to talk about the Eagles. I mean, the Giants, what are they, 2 or 3 games up in this division? It's going to be – I can go ahead and tell you now, the Giants win this division. It's not even a factor now. It's just, can one of these teams in the East play well enough to make a wild card? Right now, I'm not seeing it. I think one team will make the playoffs out of this division. It will be the Giants.
Well, you know, they certainly have separated themselves, and you're right. I mean, even if they go through a month collapse like the Giants sometimes do – they're getting a lead already padded up, and they're winning the games against the teams that obviously they have to. So in the East, so yeah, you're right. I mean, I look at the Giants; they're going to win at least probably 10 or 11 games, win this division pretty easily.
Yep, and that's going to lead us straight to our number one game. Take us there.
Yeah, I mean, speaking of coaches on the hot seat, Andy Reid was 13-0 coming off a bye. He actually convinced me to pick his Eagles You know, that 13-0 statistic, you know, I bought in. And then here comes the Atlanta Falcons on the road. Here comes Matt Ryan on the road. And they really just played extremely well. Julio Jones had a great game. And the Falcons really just took control early in this game and never let up.
Yeah, and I finally picked the Falcons. I always pick the Eagles at home when they're coming off a loss or, you know, looking sloppy. But there's something about this Falcons team, Trey, is different. You know, I'm looking at it, and I see them. They have a total new identity. I mean, they don't run the ball as well as they used to, but they don't have to when you have Julio Jones, Roddy White, and Gonzalez, and Matt Ryan's playing like a Pro Bowl quarterback. So what about this team right now when you look at Atlanta? It's so much different than the years past. So the team that went 13-3 that lost in the first round to Green Bay, what's different?
Well, you know, we talked about it in the beginning of the year. There was some people on our show came on and said the Atlanta Falcons, they didn't like the offensive coordinator, they didn't like the new play calling, they didn't like the scheme. You know, and one of the things I said was, you know, I disagree. I look at this scheme, and I love what they're doing. I liked what they were doing in the preseason. I liked the way they were using their talent. And it has worked. I mean, you can't deny it. Their offensive scheme, their play calling has been fantastic. They've gone to their strength as a football team. I mean, a lot of the NFL teams, they have a lot of talent, and they don't seem to actually use their talent very well. Well, the Falcons know how to use their talent. They've, you know, lessened their run game a little bit, and they put the ball in Matt Ryan, in his hands, and obviously he gets it to Julio Jones and Roddy White, and, of course, the ageless wonder, Tony Gonzalez, and it has been fantastic.
Yeah, I mean, the defense of Atlanta is playing well, but, again, I mean, it seemed like the entire game the Eagles fans were booing. And I remember one play in this game, the Eagles made a sack inside the red zone. The crowd just cheered like they won the football game. That's how quiet that crowd was and what they were just looking for the Eagles to show some heart, you know, to show something that they wanted to be there. The Eagles fans are loyal. You know, they're going to cheer for you. They're going to support you. But if you're out there laying an egg like these guys have been doing, and another thing, Michael Vick, did you see some of the hits he took during this entire game?
Yeah, Vick, I mean, surprised he's standing up, but I mean, he took some brutal hits.
Yeah, I just don't see Michael Vick being able to withhold a season, withstand a season like this, getting hit. I think he'll be out in the next few weeks, and I think the Eagles maybe surrender today after this loss. What do you think?
Well, I mean, whether Vick came out after the game and actually said Andy Reid was considering a quarterback change and he would support it if he makes it. So, I mean, is Vic's head in the right position? I mean, is that what you want your starting quarterback to come in and say, that if he gets benched, he's okay with it?
Well, it's just a guy that I think that's taken such a beating that he wouldn't mind sitting out a few games, because it'll wear on you. You know, I've never played NFL football, but I could just imagine getting hit time after time again. And age is starting to affect Michael Vick, too. You know, he's older. And you can't outrun age. It's going to catch up with you. And the more he gets hit, the older he gets, the more injury-prone he's going to be. He was injury-prone young in his career, you know, college, pros, it didn't matter. So now he's getting older, he's rich, he doesn't really, you know, need much in life. I also don't think he's going to give too much more effort out there if his team does.
Yeah, I mean, I still don't like the way, you know, talking about teams that don't use their talent. I mean, this team has a lot of talent in the playmakers, and they don't seem to be able to use, you know, new play calls or schemes to get, you know, McCoy his carries, you know, get DeSean Jackson into the game in other ways, just lining him up at, you know, on the left and the right as a receiver, you know, and get Macklin involved. They just don't seem to have any creative ways to get their playmakers, you know, the football. And they just don't run the ball with McCoy nearly enough.
So the Falcons right now, do you think they're a legitimate Super Bowl contender?
Well, I think, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I think their defense is playing well enough now. You know, if Matt Ryan keeps playing like this, they're going to be hard to beat, because the Packers, looking at them, I think they're terrible. Just watching them play, I mean, they almost lost to Jacksonville today. I just don't think they're consistent enough. And if they're not at home in the playoffs, I think they might struggle a little bit. But I think it'll come down to probably the Giants and the Falcons, you know, to see. And I don't know who I'd favor right now in that game. It's just hard to bet against Eli Manning and that Giants defensive line. So we'll have a lot more to talk about in football. There's a long way left to go. But anything in the NFL today stand out to you besides that Miami win I told you about? It wasn't on your list.
Yeah, I mean, Miami played well. You know, looking at the NFL, Parvin, you know, one of the things that I think you have to kind of, I guess, put on your radar is just the inconsistency of some of the teams that are supposed to be really good. I mean, you know, but then on the other side of the coin, look how well the Patriots played today. They went to London and just destroyed a Rams team who had been within seven points of every game they played in. So the Rams had played everybody tough. And then, you know, the Patriots just dismantled them. So, I mean, are the Patriots back?
I'm not ready to say that just yet. I mean, they're going to have to play a lot more consistent. Defense is going to have to play better. The offensive line doesn't look good so far this year up till today. I don't know. I'm not ready to say they're back yet.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see if they can be consistent, because they've been up and down all year long. So, you know, another thing is we figure out which teams are going to actually be Super Bowl contenders. You know, whether or not the Patriots are there, I mean, they certainly look that way today. But, you know, is Matt Moore, who came in for Tannehill, you talked about the Dolphins game that you predicted. I mean, do you think that he should stay in there?
Yeah. I don't know what to think about this division trade at all. I don't know who's going to win it right now, but I'm not ready to crown the Patriots kings just yet. But right quick, let's move on. Yesterday I was in line waiting to vote. I got a call that Marcus Lattimore, I mean, it sounded like to me, you know, from everybody I talked to, that his career was over, Trey. Did you get to see the shot he took to his knee?
Yeah, I saw it. I mean, you got to put it up there, and basically, you're talking about the most gruesome hits. I mean, Joe Theismann, I mean, this is up there, and the injuries that you don't want to ever see again.
Yeah, but the good news is today that they came back and said he hyperextended it, which that's great. But Steve Spurrier made a comment, and I want to get people's comments in the chat room, said that, you know, he has a red shirt available, that they're going to try to get him to red shirt next year and come back for his senior year 2014. Would you think it would be smart for Marcus Lattimore to come back or do you think his stock dropped a lot? You know, probably. Will it drop, Trey? Will his stock drop if he comes back? If he doesn't come back to college, that's what I was trying to say.
If he's in the draft next year, he's certainly not going to be a top 10 pick, which is where he probably would have been. You're looking at, you know, maybe a third or fourth round. I mean, somebody will obviously take him. But, you know, this reminds you of the Willis McGahee, you know, in the national championship game where he blew his leg out in a, you know, pretty nasty hit. You know, you kind of got to see how he could recover. So it'll be one of those things they'll have to see if Lattimore, how it looks in the combine, that kind of stuff, you know, if he's even, you know, ambulatory by that point. But, you know, I've also heard a story that came out of South Carolina that said he had ligament damage. So we'll have to see just what the extent of his injuries are and how quickly he can recover.
Yeah, and that's another thing. You know, you see the NBA, people can come out of high school, you know, maybe play 1 year and they go pro. I mean, these running backs like Lattimore that are talented enough to play in the NFL, Trey, I don't think you should make them play 3 years. There needs to be something in there where these guys can go on, because as a running back in the Southeastern Conference or anywhere for that matter, I mean, you take a beating running the ball. You get hit every time you touch it, and it's just there's too much risk in there, Trey. This is a guy that could have been one of the top 10 running backs of all time, possibly. That's what he looked like to me when I saw him on the field. So what do you think about them being able to leave early if they're good enough to go pro instead of having to stay 3 years?
Well, I mean, I don't think you're going to any rule changes anytime soon. I mean, the NFL is a pretty violent sport. I mean, they need some seasoning, and, you know, the NFL terminates 3 years, you know, basically almost for player safety. But, I mean, you're right. Some guys are obviously ready, but you'd hate to see a slew of freshmen and sophomores come out and just get destroyed in the NFL because they're not ready.
Yeah, and Trey, did anything in the BCS – I'm going to screen a call real quick. Did anything in the BCS rankings that came out today surprise you at all?
Well, going into the BCS, I mean, I kind of had the impression that Notre Dame might be a little higher just based on the Oklahoma win. But certainly, you know, looking at where they're going to be, they're going to have an obvious shot to win this whole thing. I mean, they're going to have a shot to be in the national championship game if they just keep winning their football games. You know, USC losing hurts not only USC's chances, which it certainly did, but it took Oregon and Notre Dame in a hit because both of their strength of schedule were sort of relying on USC being really good and having maybe one or two losses. You know, now if USC loses to Oregon, you know, they could have three losses going into the Notre Dame game, which hurts Notre Dame's strength even worse. So, you know, looking at, you know, that whole Oregon, Kansas State, Notre Dame and who's going to play against Alabama, we'll have to see, Tarvin. I'm not really sure if they're all going to win out. I think that's not going to happen, but I really do think that Notre Dame made a big statement and really deserves to be higher in the BCS. I guess Tarvin's still screening a phone call, so they're looking at the chat room, guys. I'm just a question for you guys. You know, how would you rank your BCS right now? Obviously, a lot of people are going to have Alabama number one, but who do you think should be number two in the BCS going in, you know, after what we saw on this week? So what do you guys in the chat room think about that? Does Notre Dame deserve to jump all the way to number two in the BCS?
Yep.
Is it Kansas State? I mean, what do you guys think?
Hey, Trey, just before we move on real quick and we talk about this BCS, we had a caller that I missed in the queue that wanted to comment on Lattimore real quick. 770 area code, you're on Way In Sports.
Yes, sir, yes. I just want to comment on Lattimore. I mean, he's great, great, great guy. I mean, you could see it in the face of the other team, of him, of anybody that was there that knows the kind of running back that he is. You could tell the kind of respect that everybody in the nation has for him. You could see it on Facebook, Twitter. You could just tell the kind of person that he has. And as a Gamecock fan, I've been a Gamecock fan for my life, and I'll always be a Gamecock fan. I don't care if he ever suits up again for the Gamecock. I would just like to see this man have a successful career in whatever he pursues in his life. Not saying anything bad, but I would just like, if he don't even have to play for the Gamecocks again, if he could just go to the NFL and make some money and just, you know, because he is that kind of person to where he deserves to be able to make money. And
yeah, you're exactly right. And then I appreciate the call. And Trey, that's a great point he brought up. The class that Tennessee showed last night or yesterday walking the midfield during this injury, I think that showed a lot about Marcus Lattimore. It showed a lot about the Tennessee Volunteers. What do you think?
Yeah, and absolutely. One of the points I want to make is there's two running backs. I mean, obviously Lattimore, you know, with his having overcome all he had overcome to even be in the situation he was in going into last night was just part of his class. But, you know, also Florida State lost Chris Thompson, who had broke his back last year and then now loses his season to an MCL tear. So, you know, you hate to see guys who are classy like Lattimore and Thompson who have overcome so much adversity to even play college football and play it at a very high level to lose, you know, their college careers on hits like that. So, you know, my heart goes out for Lattimore for sure and obviously Thompson as well.
Yeah, but thanks for the call. We got cut off there for a second, but 770 area code, man, that was a great call. Stay tuned to the show, listen in, and thanks for supporting the show. And the BCS, Trey, looking at it, South Carolina is still at number 8. Does that surprise you with 2 losses?
Well, yeah, I mean, it does, but, you know, they're still pretty highly ranked in both of the polls. I mean, yeah, I look through the last 2 in situations of those losses. So, you know, South Carolina's not going to be playing for the national championship unless some crazy stuff happens. But, you know, I mean, I think it's deserved for them to still be up there.
Yeah, and one thing I looked at, Texas, you know, they're not ranked in the AP, but they're ranked in the coaches poll, I think 23rd, but they are in the BCS. What do you think about Texas right now being ranked, Trey?
Well, I mean, 23rd in the BCS is not ranked to me. I don't look past 10 in the BCS. There's really no point in it. But, you know, you're looking at Texas. One of the things that that I actually do like a lot with Texas, and I know we have a couple of Texas, really loyal Texas fans who listen to us. They changed their quarterback this week, Tarvin, and I think that's going to be a big deal. Ash has been very inconsistent. He's out, you know, so we'll see what happens with Texas now.
Yeah, I think, you know, they talked about tonight in the BCS with Oregon number 4 still, that if Oregon wins out, they're going ahead of anybody else, you know, besides Bama, of course. Kansas State, Notre Dame has not a good shot to overtake Oregon if they win out. But let's talk about Oregon a minute. How big did the Southern Cal loss to Arizona? Could this come back to haunt them, Trey? Losing this game, you know, not playing a top 10 ranked Southern Cal team. And it could be in the championship game playing a 3 or 4 loss Southern Cal team.
Yeah, I mean, this destroys Oregon's chances. I mean, you're talking about their strength of schedule and that kind of stuff. And I know a lot of people think that Oregon's going to be there, you know, the computer-wise. But you really, I mean, really not. It's really not 100% they will, Tarvin. Obviously, I think a lot of people think they should. But, you know, I'm gonna go for a second, Tarvin. I got a baby, but,
You know, looking at it, Oregon, man, if you're an Oregon fan right now, you know you probably want to win out, of course, but Southern Cal losing to Arizona, and that's their second loss, and if you beat them next week, is it really going to make people look at it and say, wow, Oregon just beat a great team? Southern Cal is still viewed, just like they said on ESPN a few minutes ago, they're still viewed as a good team in people's eyes, but I think Oregon is going to have to put a beating on Southern Cal to really move up any, because if they go to Southern Cal and win by a field goal, it's going to start putting doubt in the voters' minds, especially when you have teams like Kansas State performing the way they are and Notre Dame with a huge win, and we'll talk about that later. It's just so much going on right now that you need your Southern Cal buddies in your conference to actually come in and help you out a little bit. And that's one thing that I look at when I'm as a voter. I'm not a voter, but if I was voting, I look at wins. I look at what you do against ranked opponents. But, you know, Alabama plays LSU this week on the road. They're a top 5 team, and Oregon's playing a team not in the top 10 now. So the game lost its luster a little bit, and we will definitely talk about that in a few minutes when Trey gets back on. And we're going to go down the list. Tino is on the line right now. Tino, how's everything going, man? Tino, you there, bud? Okay, we'll go to the next one. Sorry, guys. We're having a little technical difficulty here. Bear with me a moment. Tino, you there, bud?
Yeah, I'm here, man. You have me on hold for a good little minute. I'm here, Big Daddy.
You got two numbers called in. I don't know how you did that. What's on your mind, man, real quick?
Not much, man. Sitting here talking about the Oregon game. Somebody asked me about to speak on the Oregon game. I think Oregon is a good team, but who is Oregon playing? Does Oregon even have an identity as a team? I mean, they're very fast, and they're a great team to play with if you're playing NCAA 2013. But as far as play, on PS3, if anybody asks is Oregon capable of beating Alabama? Look at the size. You're gonna put a heavyweight fighter up against a welterweight. I just don't think Oregon can go round and round with them. You know, if Oregon plays Alabama, it's not a BCS game. Yeah, Oregon might can beat Alabama just because the speed of the game. Oregon's got a speed of the game that they just wear you out up and down the field like they did us in the championship. If it's a BCS chance for a game, all the TV timeouts, then Alabama's going to drag them. But the only chance that Oregon would even have against Alabama is a regular season game, and they'll never see that.
Yeah, I mean, we're looking ahead, you know, way far. But
yeah.
give Alabama and Nick Saban a month to prepare for Oregon, just like Auburn did. They slowed down this offense by, you know, blowing up the line of scrimmage. They just beat Oregon up front, and that's exactly what Alabama would try to do, and give them a month. Oregon better just hope. I mean, they better hope that Kansas State or Notre Dame, both of them, lose, because if Oregon stumbles, and I don't even mean lose, I mean they stumble in the voters' eyes just a little bit, it's going to be hard because the computers don't like them now as it is. And that's very concerning right now if you're an Oregon fan. The computers don't love you. Southern Cal lost again. And, you know, it looks good going down the road, Tino, but there's not too much more going on. So, Tino, thanks for the call, and we'll definitely hear from you in a few minutes. And before we play that interview, I'm going to take one more call real quick. Excuse me. We're going to go straight to that interview right quick, guys. So it's going to be about 15 minutes. It's a great interview. I hope you guys enjoy it. Mike Blanc of the Auburn Tigers. When we come back, we're going to break down our college games. So stay tuned, guys, and enjoy this interview.
Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to a live edition of Way In Sports Talk. I'm your host, Brian Tarvin. And today we have a special guest, former Auburn Tiger player Mike Blanc. How's everything going, Mike?
Hey, I'm doing fine. How you guys doing?
Oh, I'm doing great. I want you to forgive my voice if it comes in and out today. I have this cold that's going around, so I'm trying to doctor that up. So if you can't hear me good, I apologize.
No problem. I can hear you just fine.
Okay, good. How's everything going?
Oh, man, everything's going great right now.
So you are in Pittsburgh, correct?
Oh, man, I was up in Pittsburgh, but unfortunately I ended up getting released.
Okay, well, I mean, so are you living back in Florida now?
Yeah, I'm back in Florida just, you know, training hard, working out every day, just, you know, trying to get a call from another team.
I'm sure it'll happen for you. You're a great football player, and you're always been one of my favorite Auburn players. I got to see especially that 2010 season when you played in the national championship game and had that big safety against Oregon.
Oh, yeah. Thanks, man. I really appreciate that.
I remember in the team hotel, I got to meet you, too, after the game.
Yeah.
It was a pretty good experience. So tell me about your college days at Auburn. I know you started under Tommy Tuberville, right?
Oh, yeah, Coach Tuttle. They recruited me. I came in 2006, my first year. I redshirted. After that, my freshman redshirt year, I got a chance, you know, to see a little bit of action. And then by the time my sophomore year came around on the field, I was able to start. And my junior, you know, do it in.
Okay. And so how was it? What's the difference between playing for Tommy Tuberville and Gene Chizik?
I'll say, let me see. I'll say a big difference is that since Coach Tuberville, you know, he was already Auburn. Like by the time his last year at Auburn, Coach Tuberville was going on like his 10th year. So he was already pretty well established. His name was, you know, everybody knew Coach Tuberville to be such an amazing coach. And, you know, when Coach Chizik came in, you know, he really came in, you know, doing a lot of new things for the players. Like, he was kind of, I don't want to say he was more for the players, but, you know, he was more coming in and making a good impression on us. And he did a great job at making a good impression on us. And, he did a lot of stuff for us. I mean, he implemented a game room, movie theater, pool tables, you know, a lot of things just to make the players happy.
And that's big, especially when you're coming, you know, you're taking the place of an established coach.
Yeah.
And, you know, Chizik had a couple years of head coaching experience, but he did coach in Auburn in 2004. So
what
about the Auburn Tigers this year? What are your feelings toward them?
Oh man, I mean, it hurts me to see, you know, how Auburn's doing right now. I remember the other day I was on Facebook, I was like, you know, hey, you know, this right here is just a minor setback for a major comeback. And, you know, I know the team, we got a lot of young guys on the team this year, a lot of guys that, you know, freshmen, true freshmen, redshirt freshmen. And I know, you know, it just takes them a little bit more time to, you know, get in motion. You know, SEC football is big-time football. Some of these other schools, they got, you know, team full of seniors or, you know, some guys that have been there a couple years. I know it just, you know, might take our players, you know, just a little bit more time, you know, to come together as a team and get everything rolling.
So tell me, you know, I've never played college football, of course, but so I think a lot of fans don't really understand, you know, how important it is, you know, for your junior and senior year compared to your freshman and sophomore. So how much stronger were you your senior year than you were your freshman year?
Oh, man, I mean, it's amazing. Like, it's a really big difference. Like, I can recall when I first came in 2006, our whole recruiting class, we all got redshirted. And then the next class that came in 2007, none of those guys really redshirted, so it kind of put two classes together. And when we looked around, we was like, man, by the time our junior and senior come around, we're going to be a great team, and we're going to win this national championship. And I remember discussing that with a bunch of guys on the team, like Mario Fannin, Zach Etheridge, Mike McNeil, Antoine Carter. Like, we looked around, we was like, man, by the time our junior senior year come around, we're going to be able to win a national championship. So I'm pretty sure the new guys at Auburn right now, they're looking at the team that they have. They're like, man, you know what? By the time our junior senior year come around, we're going to get this thing rolling. We're going to be able to win a national championship.
Yeah, and I look at the talent at Auburn right now, and it's probably the best it's ever been. But like you said, you know, when you're freshman and sophomore, and you, especially on the offensive line, you know, and we're very young, and with the quarterback changing systems as well, we're very inexperienced. So I'm looking for big things to happen in the next couple of years with this Auburn team. So a lot of the Auburn fans are wanting Gene Chizik removed. What would you say about that?
Oh, man, I mean, you know, Coach Chizik, he's a wonderful, he's a great coach, and he really knows what he's doing. You know, Coach Miles on, he ended up leaving his coaching staff. You know, that's a big thing, too. A lot of people don't realize Coach Malzahn, you know, he ended up leaving the coaching staff. If people go back and look, when Coach Malzahn first came in with us, our quarterback was Chris Todd, and Chris Todd numbers was off the charts. Our running back at the time was Ben Tate. Ben Tate rushing yards was off the charts. And then the previous year when we had Cam, the same thing happened. Cam numbers off the charts, and then our running game was off the charts. So now, you know, Malzahn gone, and a new coaching offense coordinator is in there. It just takes players more time to get adjusted, and players, you know, get involved and get used to the system.
Yeah, exactly. And I've noticed, I don't know if you've noticed this, but I'm one of the few that's noticed, I think, that the defense has gotten a lot better since last year.
Defense looked great. The defense looked really great.
It does. I mean, it's like these guys have understood the change, and that's a big change when you change defenses and coordinators, isn't it?
Cause like, when I was at Auburn, we had, like, I want to say I went through, like, three defense coordinators. I had Will Muschamp, Then we had Coach Rose. Then we ended up with Coach Roof. So, you know, when a new defense coordinator comes in, it's definitely a new transition, you know, because you got to learn a whole new defense. You got to learn how this defensive coach, his defensive style, how he plays it. Some coaches might like to blitz. Some coaches might like to, you know, sit back and play the pass. Some coaches, they might be all over the place. Like when we had Coach Muschamp, he'll hit you all over the place. So, you know, you got to get adjusted to new defenses and new coaches. All that stuff is definitely a new adjustment.
Okay, so playing defense, like you, and you went through three coordinators. Who was your favorite defensive coordinator to play for?
Oh, man, I mean, they was all great defensive coordinators. I don't know if I could say I really had a big favorite. I'll say, you know, Coach Muschamp, I had to play with Coach Muschamp more. I think I had like 2 years with Coach Muschamp, and he was a really great defense coordinator. Like, I love Coach Muschamp, and now when I seen he went off to Florida, and now he's there doing great things. So, and I knew that was going to happen because he's just a great coach.
Okay, so your advice to the Auburn fans right now is really just be patient and let this thing happen, right?
Oh yeah, because you know, I mean, it's when you're a true fan, man. I mean, it's tough to see, you know, your team not doing well, not doing good. And, you know, Auburn football, we always put together, like, good seasons at Auburn. And, you know, season like this, it doesn't look too good right now. It's not a good season. And, you know, as a true fan, you want to see your team do so much better than what they're doing right now. So, you know, when you're back against the wall, you know, a lot of people are going to get upset. A lot of people are going to want to see changes. A lot of people might want to see a new coach in there, but I mean, you know, that happens sometimes, man. You know, sometimes you might have a rough season and then you come back with a bounce back year. So
yeah, on your 2010 team, the national championship team, Auburn lost over 30 players, you know, that played a lot. That's a lot to overcome in that short period of time. I don't think fans really understand that as well.
Yeah, you know that, and that's one thing that I realized too, that when we all was leaving, I seen who was all leaving with us. I was like, man, we have a lot of guys leaving at the moment, but I seen a lot of new, fresh talent coming in, and I was like, man, we give these guys a couple years, they're gonna do some great things. So, I mean, I'm a ride or die Auburn fan forever. Like, I'm a bleed orange and blue, you know, till I die. And I know that Auburn's going to overcome this and they're going to be an excellent team again. We're going to get things back rolling and we're going to be back to that national championship again.
That's exactly what I think. And also, playing for Auburn, what was your greatest tradition at Auburn that you got to partake in?
My greatest tradition at Auburn I got to partake in. You got to go on Toomer's Corner and throw some paper towels up there. You got to.
that is an experience. How about the Tiger Walk every Saturday before a big game? How does it feel coming down,
man,
and seeing all your fans?
I mean, man, Tiger Walk is one of the most greatest experiences that I have experienced at Auburn. Like, the fans, you feel all the love the fans are giving you. Like, if Tiger Walk doesn't give you pump for any game, I don't know what will. I mean, the fans are out there. They're even more jacked up than us, man. I mean, I hear some fans will get your big chest bump and, you know, high five. And, you know, I mean, it's wonderful, man. I miss Auburn, man. I love the experience. And it's something that I'll never forget. I'll never forget my experience at Auburn.
So you're the game that you would say the game that stood out to you the most, and even the national championship game could be that. What was it for you, really?
The game that sticks out the most for me while I was at Auburn. Of course, you know, the national championship game, that's a game I'll never forget. Like, national championship game, like, that's an experience a lot of people don't get a chance to experience. It's crazy because, like, even when I went off and I was in San Diego and I was in Pittsburgh, like, it was dudes that been in the NFL, like, maybe 10 years were actually like, man, how does it feel to play in a national championship? Like, it's dudes, you know, they might be successful in the NFL, Pro Bowl, but some of them, they still never got that chance to play, you know, on the greatest stage in college, and that's the national championship. And they're actually like, man, how does it feel? And, you know, you see dudes like, you know, 10 years in the league, like, hey, you got any of your rings with you? I'm like, it's kind of funny, man. But, you know, that national championship game is a game I'll never forget.
you know, the game I'll never forget. I was at the championship game, and it was a surreal feeling. But the Iron Bowl that year, 2010, how was the sidelines when it was 24-0? What were y'all saying to each other?
When the game was 24-0, I can recall we looking at each other. And the thing so crazy about that Iron Bowl was that the first half of that game, I actually couldn't play the first half. I was actually, me and Mike Goggins, we was actually suspended the first half of that game. So I was just so pumped and so amped just to get back in there. Like, when after halftime, I was like, man, I'm ready. Me and Mike Goggins looking at each other, we ready. And when we seen the score when we was going into halftime, I was like, man, but we still got it. Like, we knew we still had it. We knew we still had it. That first half, we didn't go out there and play our best game. So we was like, they kept us around in this game. We don't care what the score is. You know, we're going to go in there like the score is 0-0. We're going to run up the scoreboard. So, man, that game was it was an excellent feeling, man. It was just great just to come back out there in the second half and to be out there with my teammates and give a helping hand and do whatever it takes to get that win.
I remember that game. Like, I couldn't even almost celebrate at the end. I was in shock, you know, the whole day that happened. But I remember that Georgia game very well, that, you know, you got suckered into coming into a, you know, football's a physical game and it's an emotional game. And when somebody's, you know, dealing with you and stuff, sometimes you might react in a different way. I thought the suspension was bogus, by the way.
Yeah. When they made that call, I was like, man, you know, I was like, I know my coach is going to be angry. And I was really angry at myself, man. It was just, you know, kind of a bonehead decision, you know, by me. You know, I should have been a little bit more disciplined. But, you know, you learn, man. You know, you live and you learn, man. And when I went in, when we was playing in the Iron Bowl and we was down that many points, I was looking like, man, I'm supposed to be out there helping my teammates, helping my brothers out there on the field. So, you know, that second half, man, you know, me and Mike Goggins, we got a chance to go out there and play. And I know that really helped, too. You know, it was a big impact to have us back out there and guys just knowing, like, hey, you know, we got, you know, two of our teammates back out here with us. Let's go out here and go to work, guys. So that's what we did, man. And that Iron Bowl game is a game that I'll never forget either. Like, I can remember, you know, Antoine Carter, you know, making that big play, Mark Ingram making him fumble after he broke down the field. Man, that's amazing.
Yeah, that was a play I remember the most.
Yeah.
You know, in that game. And so playing with Cam Newton, how good is he when you played with him, when you were on the field with him?
Oh, man, I mean, it's funny because, you know, then, you know, our D-line was great at Auburn. Like, our whole front four, even the guys that was coming off the bench, like, we all was great. And, you know, we'll be in practice against Cam. And, you know, Cam, he'll be moving and, you know, shifting through the line. And, you know, we'll say little stuff like, all right, you know, don't make us come grab you or something like that. And he'll be like, come on, come grab me. But, I mean, playing with Cam, it was an incredible experience. You know, he's a guy that he do whatever it takes to win. He works very hard. He studies hard. He's all about the team, and, you know, he's a tremendous athlete. So, you know, having him as a teammate and a leader of the offense, it was just great to have him.
Okay, well, I just want to thank you again for coming on, and I don't want to take too much time out of your Saturday.
No problem at all.
Watch some college football today, right?
Oh, yeah, I'm definitely sitting around ready till these games come on, because there's a lot of great games going on this weekend, so I'm ready.
Well, I just want to thank you again for coming on, and hopefully we can have you on again very soon if you'd like to.
No problem at all. Thank you.
All right. It was great to talk to you, Mike. You have a great weekend.
Great talking to you guys, too. You guys have a...
All right. Thanks for listening, Mike. Thanks for coming on. It was a great interview. Sorry I was sick, Mike. Next time I'll do a lot better. So he did a great job talking about it, Trey. You're back with us, right, Trey?
Yeah, I'll tell you, I apologize to you on the show for missing it. I was, I got time confused when you told me what time it was. I was still in bed, so it was early West Coast.
I forget you're 3 hours behind me sometimes. So when I tell you 10:30, I mean, you were thinking 10:30, 1:30 my time. So I apologize about that.
Yeah, it's a good interview, Tarvin. It's a good interview. Good to hear from a guy who's you know, whether you're a fan of any team, it's always interesting to hear the perspective of a guy who's played the national championship game. You know, that was a good year for Auburn for you guys, and you know, interesting to hear his perspectives on how big, you know, how important that game is, and how the NFL guys still ask about it. That's kind of funny.
Yeah, and that surprised me too. But that's one thing that a lot of players want to do is play on the big stage. But I needed something, Trey, something special to cheer up some of the Auburn fans out there, because, you know, 1-7 right now. You know, I picked 10 wins for Auburn this year with the bowl, so I'm looking like a moron. But I needed somebody, you know, to come in and bring back some good memories from the past. So I've lined that up, and I really do again thank him for coming. So, Trey, take us through our college games. Let's get ready to rock and roll. I'm ready for some college football now.
Well, our first game was a good game. Number 10 went into overtime. Cincy at Louisville. When Louisville pulled it out, Tarvin, I think you picked Cincinnati, which was ended up being a pretty good pick. They took them to the wire, but Louisville held on. What do you think about Charlie Strong and the Louisville Cardinals?
Well, I like to see Charlie Strong's, you know, his intensity out there on the sidelines. You know, when I look at a coach, I want to see what he does during the game, how he reacts, and Strong is into it. Remember at Florida, he was a great defensive coach when they were good on defense, and I'm not sure about how he could do in the SEC as a head coach, but I like to see what he's doing at Louisville, man. That's where Petrino coached. That's where he was a head coach and built Louisville up. Charlie Strong looks real good as a coach. How long do you think he's going to be at Louisville, by the way?
Well, yeah, he said that he's there because he values what the opportunity they gave him. But, you know, given how hot of a commodity he's going to be, I think he's going to be able to pick a lot of big schools to go to. So, you know, I just don't see him making it in Louisville another year, just because I think someone's going to come in and throw just millions at him, and I think it's going to be too strong of an offer for him to turn down.
Yeah, I mean, you might say it right now that you might like Louisville, that's great, but someone else bigger, more powerful, stronger comes over and offers you, you know, $5 million, $4 million per year, you'll go.
Oh, absolutely.
So that was a great game. I picked Cincinnati in the upset, by the way, and it almost came to pass.
Yeah, it absolutely almost did. You know, which moves us to our next game, number 9, in-state rivalry, you know, NC State, North Carolina. This game actually was phenomenal, Tarvin. I don't know if you saw the end of it, but it ended up a punt return and then a botched extra point ended up being a two-point conversion. And North Carolina won this game. What a finale. I mean, winning a game on a punt return.
Yeah, I mean, you picked this game, and I just scratched my head. But now after watching it, you are a genius, Trey. So a great ending. It was a great rivalry. Of course it is. And to be able to beat your rival with a play like that is something that will go down in every fan's mind and stick with them for the rest of their lives. It was a great ending.
Yeah, I mean, winning a game on a punt return is so rare. So, a good win for North Carolina. I mean, that takes them to 6 wins. They got the bowl eligibility before NC State did. NC State, you know, shows you that they're just, you know, they beat Florida State, but they can't do it week in and week out. This is a game they should have won. They had control of this game early and lost it. I mean, but that kid from North Carolina, I mean, 2 punt returns for a touchdown. I mean, he's making his name now, Tarvin, on the national stage.
Oh, definitely, man. And NC State, again, shows some inconsistency, you know, beating Florida State like that and then coming back and losing to North Carolina. So that's like on the ESPN show, Game Day Final, they have the Wheel of Destiny for the ACC, and that's exactly why they have it.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, take us to a game that matters.
Yeah, looking at number 22, 5-2 Michigan. They went on the road, and they went into a night game in Lincoln, and they got it handed to them, Tarvin. What do you think about Taylor Martinez and the Cornhuskers?
Hey, Seth, or Trey, I think you have some static on your phone right now. Can you check it?
Yeah, can you hear me better?
Yeah, I can hear it going away now. I was hearing it, too. Someone in the chat room mentioned it. But
the
Michigan game, I was surprised that Michigan didn't play as more competitive. I thought they played flat. I don't think Nebraska is that great of a team for them to get beat like this. And it just looks like Michigan quit to me.
Well, I mean, what was going on? I mean, and maybe you guys who were watching this game real closely, but you know, Denard Robinson didn't play in the whole second half. I mean, the announcers in the game seemed to indicate it might be an injury or might be a benching. I'm still not seeing anything with Denard Robinson. So what was it? What was going on with Denard Robinson? Why wasn't he in the game?
I don't know. I've noticed Denard Robinson he takes spells like that where he's in, he's out. And against Alabama, he was out. And I've seen some other games. I can't remember exactly, but I remember watching asking the same thing. But obviously, if he's not behind in that home field advantage, he's just not there. I don't just think it's him, Trey. I think it was a lot of the Michigan players.
Yeah, and they're saying that he got hurt with a nerve issue. Thanks, Dustin Hawks, for that. I don't know what that really means. If that means that, you know, that's one of those phantom injuries that they're trying to show, you know, give him some face. But, you know, I saw him on the sidelines. He looked fine. He was walking around. I mean, I know that everyone was saying injury, but, you know, I'm questioning whether that was a real injury or not.
Yeah, I mean, and Nebraska's defense is not a top 10 defense by any stretch, but, I mean, what did Michigan score, 9 points on them?
Yeah.
I mean, that's terrible. I mean, you're Michigan, you have Denard Robinson, and I've heard people, I'm tired of hearing it all the time, Denard Robinson's the best player in the world, you know, he's the best athlete on any field. I'm just not seeing that this year, and I thought to see a lot more out of Denard Robinson. But, you know, I heard they were going to actually let him do kickoff returns and stuff just because the coach realizes in the NFL he's not going to be able to be a quarterback. But what do you think about that decision?
Yeah, it looks like Justin Hawks saying that his nerve issue was in his hand. He couldn't grip the ball. I still don't know about that. But, yeah, Denard Robinson isn't going to be a quarterback at any other level. So, I mean, if he wants to go pro, it's going to have to be at a different position.
Yeah, I totally agree. I mean, I like Denard Robinson and everything. He's a team player, but if he tries to play quarterback in the NFL, he'll get murdered.
Yeah, it won't go so well for him for sure.
All right, well, take us on to the next one.
Well, here's the big upset, Tarvin. Number 10 USC went on the road against a 4-3 Arizona team and really got a lot more than I think they thought they were bargaining to. Do you think this was USC looking ahead, or do you think that USC is just mediocre?
I think USC, honestly, once you get past that first team, they're mediocre. And the longer the game wears on, the more you'll see Southern Cal fade away. They got up big at one point in this game, and they really had a chance to put the nail in the coffin. And here comes Arizona again. This is one game, Trey, I changed my mind at the last second on this show and picked Southern Cal because it was not a night game. I should have picked Arizona, and I promise you I was thinking that. We talked about it on that show last time. But Southern Cal wasn't looking ahead to Oregon because at the end of the day, they're not good enough to look ahead.
Well, I mean, you very well could be right. I mean, and here's the thing. I don't think this game, if you're looking at, you know, what may matter for you, at least Matt Barkley, because Matt Barkley came back to win the national championship and the Heisman. Well, he has no shot at the national championship, but this game actually helped him, if that's possible, with the Heisman. He had a really big game. This game got a lot of press, and so people were looking at the game, well, what went wrong? It must have been Barkley, but you look at Barkley's numbers, and it certainly wasn't. So, you know, this game actually, you know, kind of put Barkley a little bit back up on the draft board and a little bit back up on the Heisman watch list, even though they lost. So, you know, Barkley looked good, but you're right. I mean, we've been talking about this and their depth. USC just does not have it yet. So, you know, I'm looking at the message board. It said everybody picked USC but Joshua Shaw. So Joshua, good on you for picking Arizona. You picked that one. That's a great pick. But I'm going to move us on to our next game, Tarvin. This game actually ended up being quite the upset as well. Not sure if you guys in the chat room all saw this game, but Michigan State went on the road against Wisconsin, who had been 6-2, and they had been improving every single week after really being quite poor in the first part of this season, almost losing to some nobodies. But Michigan State went on the road and actually won this game, which kind of shocked me because I kind of thought Wisconsin had taken that next step and that we're going to go and finish this season strong. This was the team, Tarvin, that you picked to win the Big Ten, and they kind of laid an egg at home. So what did you think about this one, Tarvin?
Well, I didn't think too much about it. to tell you the truth. I mean, it's Wisconsin. You know, they started playing better. But, again, they have no offense. Michigan State really has no offense. So I thought Wisconsin would win just because they were at home. But, I mean, when you have two teams like this, it's just a coin toss, really. So I'm not surprised that Michigan State won. But I am disappointed that my prediction is going to be wrong.
Well, let me ask you this. Who is going to win the Big Ten?
I have no clue, man. I really don't know right now.
I actually want to win it. I mean, it just seems this whole conference is so up and down. I mean, there's really not a team in this conference. Right now it looks like Nebraska, but, you know, that's just this week. So well, we shall see, Tarvin, about this one.
Yeah, and hold on, Trey. We have Nathan. He's on the line right now, and we're talking Big Ten football, so I'd like to take a couple of calls. Nathan, what's going on, man?
Oh, not much. How are you guys doing this evening?
Oh, doing great. So tell us, Nathan, who's going to win this Big Ten real quick?
Oh, either Nebraska or Michigan. Toss a coin. Nebraska, of course, won last night, won rather convincingly. Michigan has a better schedule on the back end. Nebraska has to go to East Lansing, play Michigan State next weekend. Michigan, if they get Denard Robinson back and his it's actually a recurring nerve injury with him in his throwing hand. He wasn't able to grip the ball last night after he went down, not actually hard, but where he got hit on his arm. But if they can bounce back and they don't have a tough sled of games at the end of the season by any means, but I think that it'll be Nebraska or Michigan that'll win it because nobody out of the leaders division has shown anything whatsoever. That's eligible.
Yeah, so Nathan, man, I appreciate the call, bud, and we'll hear back from you Sunday, hopefully. We're going to take one more call on the Big Ten. Jason's on the line. How's it going, Jason?
What's up, Tarvino?
Hey guys,
you ask who's going to win the Big Ten? It's the Big Ten. Anyone can beat anyone. There's only one ranked team, so, I mean, come on. It's a weak conference, and it doesn't matter who wins the Big Ten because whoever wins is going to get their ass kicked. So, it's great for me, you know, for the Gophers because we actually have a chance to do something this year because they are soft. And what benefits us right now is the fact that it's building confidence. I mean, but, you know, in my opinion, who's going to win the Big Ten? Probably Nebraska. I don't see Michigan doing anything. Sonny and I have said this before, you know, Michigan is a Denard Robinson team, and how he goes is how that team goes. So if he's having nerve issues, he's not going to be 100% the rest of the year. They're not going to win out.
Nope, not at all. And it looks like these guys have given up in a way. Like, it's hard to know, I guess, when you know you're not going to play for a title. And also, we know the best team in the Big Ten is on probation. So how much does that take away from some of the teams? They might not give as much effort, you know?
Tarvin, I question that, too, because, you know, I have some really good friends that are Ohio State fans, but this is all I got to say to them. Purdue took you to overtime. You beat them in overtime barely. And I watched my Gophers destroy Purdue on Saturday. So talk about a quality of win and dominance, please. It's like I said, in the Big Ten, anyone can beat anyone. There is no one that is outright dominant. I mean, it's just a bad year for our conference. I mean, that's all I got. That's all I got.
I agree. That's all that.
You know,
I'm
even kind of looking at the. You know, the Big 12, they're not as strong as I thought they'd be this year either. I mean, they're soft too. Nobody plays defense. It's just sad. I mean, I hate to admit this, but quite honestly, Notre Dame plays defense. That's why they won Saturday. They played defense. And that's why the SEC is where they are right now. Everyone in the SEC plays defense. So,
I don't know about that.
It boils down to that.
I don't know about that statement because I watched Auburn play last night. They didn't know how to play defense. So.
Yeah, but you always have those teams at the bottom. I mean, they still play some defense. I mean,
you know,
Sonny and I have this conversation like every week. I mean, everyone wants to say which conference is better and which conference is this and that and whatnot and how many ranked teams do you have and blah, blah, blah. But if you really look at it, and this is how college football is built, you're only going to have three or four teams that are, you know, at the top. The rest of them, it's feast or famine. I mean, you're always going to have the Auburns once in a while. You're always going to have Minnesota at the bottom. You're always going to have Kentucky. I mean, it's just it's the way college football was built. You will never have a conference where you will have all 10 or 11 teams, you know, with one loss. It's not possible.
No, because they beat up on each other. But, Jason, man, thanks for the call and the insight on the Big Ten. And you're right, man. I'm not very impressed with the Big Ten, but the Gophers look good, though. And thanks for the call, buddy. Trey, any comments on the Big Ten before we move on?
No, I mean, I think right now, like I said, Nebraska looks like the cream of the crop, but next week when they lose, which they very well could, it could be somebody different. I mean, just don't know. I mean, the Big Ten, I mean, Ohio State, you know, is the best team by far. They've struggled, but they've won, and that's all that matters at the end of the year is did you win all the games that you had on the schedule.
And it's hard, too, these Ohio State guys. You know, sometimes you're going to have a bad game, especially when you know there's no postseason. So it's hard to motivate your team to play every week, especially, you know, if Ohio State was, you know, if they were able to be ranked and to play, they would probably, you know, be up in the top five right now in the BCS. They'd have a lot more intensity when they played probably. But if you ever need any Big Ten advice, so Jason Minson, he knows that Big Ten, Trey. So keep him in mind if you ever have any questions because he seems like he knows this conference top to top.
Yeah, absolutely. He's our Big Ten expert.
Exactly. All right, man.
Yeah.
Let's move on to the next one.
Moving on to our next game. This actually keeps us in the Big Ten, so we're not getting that far. This is the Ohio State at Penn State game. Tarvin, you know, I had Penn State, I think, upsetting. I think you did, too. And Ohio State didn't let this be an upset very long. This game was controlled by Ohio State pretty much from the onset.
I picked Ohio State, by the way.
Okay, well, it was just me then.
Yeah, if you try to bring me down with your bad company like the Grub. So thanks, Trey. But, yeah, the ineligible bowl, it was good early. But, you know, Ohio State can play defense when they want to play, especially against some of these Big Ten offenses. So it just goes to show that Ohio State is a big step ahead of everybody else, Trey, because Penn State's been hot. They played well. They were at home. They got the early lead, but just the talent of Ohio State took over. So I wasn't surprised at all by that outcome.
Yeah. I mean, I'll just say that I messed up. I picked Penn State. I bought into the hype. You know, I'll take my lumps.
It's okay, man. You'll get them next week.
Yeah. So moving on, let's get out of the Big Ten. Let's look at this game, Tarvin. Number four. A lot of people had this as an upset. This was Texas Tech 6-1. Number 14 in the country, hosting number 4 Kansas State. Well, Optimus Klein took this game over in the second half, Tarvin. It really dominated. He put himself right back on that front and center for the Heisman. He looked amazing in this game, running and throwing the football, and Kansas State really pulled away, which really impressed me with how they were able to really move the ball against that Texas Tech defense, which looked, you know, pretty good in weeks before. So what do you think about this one?
Well, I'm disappointed in myself because, you know, I keep making the same mistake over and over again. I keep picking against Kansas State, and all they do is keep winning. But there's two things I'm tired of hearing this year is Optimus Klein and Johnny Football. Those two slogans, terms, it gets me irritated every time I hear them now. But hats off to Kansas State and Bill Snyder, man. They play football a lot like Alabama does. I mean, they play very hard, physical. No penalties, mistakes, but they don't have the talent right now as Alabama does. But, I mean, all these guys do is win. And to blow out a team that was hot like Texas Tech was in a conference game And it was a big stage. I mean, it was a good televised game. I was very impressed. I was more impressed with Kansas State this week than I have been all season.
Yeah, I mean, based on, you know, their week-by-week schedule, if you look at it, I kind of thought that if they were going to be, you know, if this was a team that wasn't legitimate, this was going to be the week they slipped up. I mean, because of the high-pressure wins they had in weeks before. You know, Tuberville looked like his team. I mean, he's got a team well-coached this year. You know, say what you want about Tuberville, but he's actually got the Texas Tech Raiders, you know, looking good. Really impressed with Bill Schneider and what he's been able to do. I mean, this guy's like 117. He coaches a football team that's literally 30 miles into nowhere, Kansas, in a hellhole cornfield. And all he does is basically win football games. So you're just very impressed with Bill Schneider and the players that he brings to basically just a not a very pleasant location in Manhattan, Kansas. And he just has to do it week in and week out.
How does he keep in touch with these guys? Because I notice a lot of coaches that are older, it seems like Paterno, he didn't even know the players' names or number. He didn't even know what day it was when he was coaching. But Schneider, he's sharp. It's like everybody respects him, and he knows what's going on the field. He knows everything that's happening, where a lot of those coaches that age, they're just wandering off, taking a nap during the game maybe. So what is special about him to you, really? I mean, when you look at Schneider, what is it that people respect?
Yeah, I mean, you know, the guy, as old as he is, still is very relevant. I mean, he has basically a scheme he's able to change. He's not a guy who's locked into certain ways. He seems to be able to take players and say, okay, let's change based on what player I have. You know, he has Klein. He said, well, this is what I'm going to do. I'm gonna play to Klein's strengths. You know, I have this player. I'm going to play to his strengths. I mean, so this guy just seems to be able to move his game, even though in his age and in the middle of a cornfield. I mean, all he does is basically change his scheme and win with the players he has. So I'm very impressed with him. I mean, imagine that with his abilities, if he had been anywhere legitimate. I mean, he's recruiting at Kansas State. I mean, imagine if he was in the SEC.
Well, could he? I mean, just imagine. I'm going to give you a hypothetical. What if he was the head coach starting the year at Auburn? What do you think his record would be right now?
Well, I mean, I think if you're looking at this year, like Auburn would have more than one win. I mean, Auburn would be a lot better. Bill Snyder is a very, very good football coach. I mean, there's no doubt about that. I think that he wouldn't have gone to the West Coast for one thing, because he would have basically said, Kyle Frazier's my guy. I'm going to go to Kyle Frazier's strength, you know, run a different kind of offense. So, you know, he's the kind of guy who changes his offense to his players, which is, you know, what we saw on Chizik go away from with Frazier. He went away from what Frazier's strengths were.
Yeah. All right, man. Well, we'll see how they do going on. And by the way, do you know who they play next week?
Kansas State.
By any chance? Is it Okie State? I think Brian Burgess said it's Oklahoma State. So
I think it's Oklahoma State, yeah.
I don't really think that'll be much of a game for them. But, you know, in a conference play, you never know. If Kansas State, you know, you're playing a team like Oklahoma State that can score, it's always a dangerous thing. You know, it's always dangerous when you're playing somebody that can score. But the problem is Oklahoma State's defense is garbage, and they have no chance to stop him. So take us on to that next game, buddy.
Well, now we're in SEC country, you know, and all people have been asking for these games. So the number 3 Florida Gators went on the road, but basically a home game in the largest cocktail party in the world. I was shocked in this game by how many turnovers Florida had and how Georgia was able to actually win this game, Tarvin.
Yeah, I predicted Georgia to win, and the reason I predicted it is because of the offense of Florida, really. I didn't think they could score enough points, and I was right. One thing that surprised me, though, was Florida turning the ball over and how bad Georgia looked on offense again. I thought they would come out rise of the occasion, but Aaron Murray throwing 3 picks. It's just, I mean, a lot of sloppy play. I think Georgia had about 150 yards of penalties in this game. I mean, it was trash talk from the start to the end. I mean, it was hard hitting, but these guys hate each other, Trey. And anytime you have a game like this, you have to watch out for it. But I was unimpressed by both teams overall, but I really liked the way Georgia's defense stepped up.
Yeah, there was a funny sports pickle tweet about this game. It said, you know, I would say the Florida-Georgia game was trash, but somebody told me it was the SEC, so it must be a well-played football game. and it's kind of comical, Tarvin, but it's true. This game was played awful. It was, there were turnovers all over the ball. There were penalties. There was miscues all around. I mean, this game was just filled with poor play. That was what really surprised me in this game, was how poorly both teams actually played, with penalties and ticky-tack errors and then just the turnovers.
Exactly, man. It was the ugliest game of the day. And if you really respect the SEC out there, you watch these two teams play yesterday and you're scratching your head. But the thing that surprised me too, Trey, I mean, not surprised me, but I was disappointed with, is the undiscipline out of both of these squads. I would look for a coach like Mark Richt, a more seasoned coach, to have his players under a little more control with the penalties. And Florida just looked god-awful. And I knew that would catch up with him, Trey, the passing game, Driscoll not being able to throw the football, because Georgia sold out to stop the run, and they did. And they controlled the game. So I don't know if Driscoll's that guy this year. I don't think this year he can take it to that next level. I think they're done. I think Georgia wins out. And I think they play Alabama in the SEC championship game. But next year, Florida should be a very, very good football team.
Yeah, I mean, and to be honest, I mean, this is a great break for Alabama, because I really do. I mean, maybe I'm the minority here, but I think Florida's a better football team than Georgia overall. I mean, Florida's not going to turn the ball over six times again this season. So, you know, Georgia is going to go on and probably get creamed by Alabama, because I'm not very impressed. I mean, even when Georgia wins, I'm never really impressed with them.
Yeah, I mean, Georgia's in trouble. Georgia plays, they actually play Ole Miss this week, and they better be careful, because Ole Miss is playing a lot better football. I think Florida wins out, too, in the SEC, and they lose to Florida State, I think, on the road. But the Georgia better be careful. This is that one game, Ole Miss. They're not a great team, but they do score points, and they're getting better every week. If Georgia comes out and plays sloppy and has these 150-yard penalty days and undisciplined, they're going to lose, and Florida's going to sneak back in it, which I want to see Georgia play, because I don't think Florida – would be a good match for Alabama right now. And when I look at the SEC championship game, I want to see the two best teams. And I think right now from each side, it would be Alabama and Georgia. So I'm thinking Georgia wins out. What do you think?
Yeah, I think they're going to win out. I mean, their schedule is so soft when you consider an SEC schedule. You know, so I think that they're not going to slip up. I mean, their schedule does not look like they should slip up. But you're right, we'll see. I mean, somebody just said in the message board something I never thought I'd hear on our message board from Birdman87, which was Ole Miss is legit. I don't know if you ever thought you'd hear that on our message board, but I certainly didn't. But, yeah, Ole Miss is a decent football team, so we'll have to see.
Yeah, Ole Miss is legit. That's a rare statement. That's a very rare statement. So good job on that one.
Yeah, it's a head scratcher.
Let's move on to the next one.
The next one is our bet game, Tarvin. Mississippi State, number 11. Much ballyhooed, went into Tuscaloosa, and let's just say this game wasn't close. The only time this game was close was the opening coin toss, and I think Mississippi State had a shot at winning the coin toss, and that's about it. So, I mean, what'd you think about this game?
Well, looking at the game, I predicted a blowout, and I didn't think, you know, about 30 was right. I thought it would, I can't remember what I said it would be, something like 38 to 10, maybe something like that. But I think it was right on. I think Alabama is just too tough for them. Mississippi State finally played a team that was very physical, and it showed. Mississippi State surrendered early in this game. And I think Mississippi State was surprised even more that they weren't ready to play this game. And I was a little surprised that they didn't come out and try as hard as I thought they would, but I don't think it would have made much of a difference. But Alabama in every facet of the game was better. And they were at home, and so it was just a recipe for a disaster, Mississippi State.
Yeah, and, you know, our bet, Lacey's about to call in to apologize. If you missed our show last Wednesday, let me catch you up. We've got a couple regulars on the show. If you're on our message board right now and you think that you can make a comment that may get past some of our regulars, you're probably wrong. So Lacey made a comment about this game and said that basically, you know, Alabama wasn't going to win by the spread. Chris Smelly went on and said, you know, he's actually going to give her more points. And basically what happens is Lacey has to come on our show now and apologize. So, Tarvin, let's get this apology underway.
Are you ready? Are you ready? I don't know if Lacey's ready, but I want to thank Lacey for doing what she said she was going to do. So I'm going to bring her on right now. Lacey, how are you?
I've been better. How are y'all?
I've been a lot better.
Okay, so, first off, Chris Smelly knows more football than I do. With that said, I just want y'all to know that he has his own little game on his own little page where, you know, everyone does picks and everything. And this is just a cute little stat. I'm in third place and he's in 22nd. But, you know, that's just common knowledge. But I had to do what I had to do.
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, a bet's a bet. And whether Chris Smelly knows more than you, I don't know about that or not, Lacey. I don't know. Smelly, I'll have to talk to you later about this. But Smelly said you're dead to him now.
Whatever. He is a hater. He's a hater. Most of them are. It's all right. Next.
Well, yeah, but Auburn, I'm sorry your Auburn Tigers lost. My Auburn Tigers lost. So I know
that
I saw one of your updates that you were in the crowd. So how was the crowd during the game?
Well, before the game at the Tiger Walk, everyone was pumped up. You could feel it. Right before kickoff, everyone was pumped up. You could feel it. And halfway into the first quarter, it's 21-0. And there's about, I don't know, half the stadium leaving. It was embarrassing.
Yeah,
it was embarrassing. The coolest thing about that game, it was Military Appreciation Day. The coolest thing during halftime, the two parachuters fell into the field. That was the coolest thing.
Well, maybe Auburn will be on our list one day soon. So I think Smelly might be on the queue right quick. Hold on. Let me get him in here.
Bring him on. Bring him on.
Chris, are you in, bud?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yeah. What's up, Chris?
What's going on, man? Doing all right?
Doing good. Lacey's on here. Said how great you were. What do you have to say about that?
She told the truth up to that last part. I wish she had to add something to it. No women can't stand by the word.
I didn't add anything to it. I did not add anything to it. Everyone knows it in the room. Everyone knows that you lose at your own competition. I'm sorry.
It's all right. Cause
I won, didn't I? I won Chris's competition this week, didn't I?
Gosh. Yes.
Okay. I just had to throw that out there, Chris. I'm sorry, man.
It's all good. I got what I wanted.
So, Chris, what did you think about the Bama game this week? I know you weren't surprised or anything, but are you ready for the LSU game this weekend?
Oh, yeah. I'm looking forward to it. I'm a little nervous, though. I still don't think that we can dominate like some people are thinking. I think it's going to be a close game.
I'm not with you on that one, but I think I'm just looking at it on paper. I think Alabama is just way too much. So, Lacey, any final thoughts before we go?
A&M looked like Oregon yesterday. That was kind of funny. I'm sorry. I just thought I'd make that little comment.
Hey, Carl.
Yeah, they did. Yes.
Before I let Lacey go, I just want to give her a pep talk because Lacey seems to be on the same page that I am on a lot of times picks. So, Lacey, don't worry about it. You and I had a bad week picking. We'll be back next week. Don't worry about it.
That's right. And I told Smelly, you know, this week he got what he wanted. The next week I'll get what I want. It's all right.
I will make another bet and LSU game then.
Gosh.
All right, Lacey. Well, thanks for coming on there. And we really enjoy Lacey. She's a regular on. So, Chris, stay on with us right quick. We have Sonya waiting to talk about Bama. How's it going, Sonya?
What's up, guys? Roll Tide. What's up, Smelly?
What's going on? Roll Tide.
Roll Tide roll. What'd I tell you last week, Tarvin, about this game? Jesus, Moses, even if they would have brought Joshua and Abraham in, wouldn't have worked.
You were right on that.
I'm telling you, dude, when you look at, okay, come on. Bama, we had 414 offensive yards to their 256. They had three turnovers. McCarron was 16 for 23, Russell 15 for 30. Come on, Shawty. For real? Not the Tide, not in our house.
Man, they look good. I have to admit. I mean, you know, you watch Auburn get beat 63-21, and you flip over, and every time you flip over, Bama's held Mississippi State and scored another touchdown. It was a very depressing evening for me.
Well, I loved it because all I had to do on my Facebook page is just copy and paste, touchdown, touchdown, touchdown. It was so much, and it was really cute because they did score a touchdown. I think it was in the fourth quarter, wasn't it, Smelly?
Mm-hmm. First.
We had the Shelton State Central High walk-on in the game.
Smelly was sweating, Sonya, when Mississippi State was about to score a touchdown and cover the spread. I know he was.
Nah.
Sonya called that pick. I'll just have to state that fact because early in the game she goes, I want my pick.
And I want my interception.
I want my interception. And then right at that moment.
I got my interception.
In the end zone to stop the drive.
That's right. But I was very happy with Bama's play. Dan Mullen was very surprising. I mean, they almost gave us a touchdown if he would have just kept acting up. Every time he turned around, it was a 15-yard penalty, so...
Yeah, but, I mean, I think that was a good penalty at that time. I think he knew there was nothing to lose. He was trying everything he could to motivate his team, to get them in position, to see what they could do. But I like that intensity out of Dan Mullen on that. I like to see a coach that gets in the face of an official sometimes and lets his players know that, hey, I'm on your side, guys, and I'll fight for you. I don't like laid-back coaches. They just sit back and have their arms folded and chew their gum. I'm just not a big fan of that.
That's right. Well, he did a great job, and he's going to be great for Mississippi State, and I'm glad he did what he did. It helped us out. But I was, to all the naysayers who were saying that this is going to be an upset and Alabama was on upset alert or whatever, yeah, okay. Like I said, Jesus, Moses, Abraham, calling a couple of pharaohs, and you still weren't going to win that game.
Yeah, it was just a big mismatch. And I think Chris said it earlier. I saw him on a message board where somebody was talking about, you know, Mississippi State's only ranked 11th and they're undefeated. But he made a good point that people, you know, that ought to show you something. If an undefeated 7-0 SEC team is not in the top 10, there's a reason why they're not in the top 10. And they hadn't played that test yet, and they finally got tested. Mississippi State's a good football team, but they're not yet a top 10 team, but they will be. But it showed them a lot playing against Alabama, but now they have to play Texas A&M, and I think they can match up well with Texas A&M, and they play LSU. So I think they can beat LSU. So Mississippi State still has a lot to play for this year.
Oh, they definitely do. When you look at what Dan Mullen's doing at Mississippi State, you look at what James Franklin's doing at Vanderbilt, I'm loving the intensity and the just sheer determination these coaches are bringing to these teams. So I'm really happy to see that. It'll be nice to see who's going to be taking a couple of other coaches' place, you know, on about three or four teams. I think we got some coaches on the hot seat. But if they bring in coaches that have that intensity and drive of Dan Mullen and James Franklin, I think you're going to see a big toss and a big turnaround in the SEC. Some of these teams that people consider cupcake teams. I mean, Vandy now is not – you can't consider Vandy a cupcake game anymore. You know, you've got to just – these teams are stepping up, and I'm liking that.
Yeah, you're right. And guys, thanks for coming on and talking Bama. And I'm going to really need you guys to come on next week when we preview the LSU-Alabama game and then when we review the Alabama-LSU game. So I'm excited.
Oh, you know, we'll be there
game.
Wednesday and Sunday. Nice talking to you. Trey, take care of that baby. Smelly, I'll see you in the chat room. Roll Tide, roll, and you guys have a good
roll
evening.
Tide. All right, Smelly, Sonya, Jason, thanks for coming on. And I'm really looking forward to their input on this game Wednesday night, Trey, to see what they think of LSU's chances. And for everybody that don't know, Alabama is right now a 10.5-point favorite in Baton Rouge. Trey, is that surprising?
No, no. I mean, I think everybody sees what we see with Mettenberger, which is a reason to doubt LSU even at home.
Yeah, no, I mean, the problem in this game, and we'll save it for Wednesday night, but it's a mismatch. I mean, this game is not a good matchup for LSU. And it showed it in January when they played, and LSU's offense has regressed since then. So it could get ugly in Baton Rouge. But, you know, that's why they play the game on the field. You never know who's going to fumble. You never know what's going to change the momentum. So without the Honey Badger, I don't know if LSU has that player that can really change the momentum, but we will find out. So, Trey, take us on to number one.
Number one, Tarvin, this ended up being a really statement game for Notre Dame. Go ahead, and I know Quinn's probably going to want to call in and give us some crap about taking Oklahoma in this game, but I was very impressed in the fourth quarter of this football game, Tarvin, when, you know, I expected Oklahoma to pull away from this game. They're at home. They have Landry Jones. And it was Oklahoma who couldn't do it, and it was the fact that Notre Dame scored 20 in the fourth quarter to really roll Oklahoma. And let's not forget, they beat Oklahoma in Norman worse than Kansas State did. So you got to give Notre Dame some props for this win.
Yeah, and I heard Quinn sent me a message earlier today and said, please have Everett call in and tell me what he thinks about Notre Dame. So, Quinn, I hate to tell you, but Everett never responded to me when I sent him that message. So we're going to bring Quinn on in a minute. And I mean, if anybody gets to come on the show, Quinn does, especially with Notre Dame playing the way they are. So we have some fans that are very happy out there right now, Trey. You have Alabama, Oregon, Notre Dame. I don't know of any Kansas State fans out there, but hopefully they'll join. So what surprised you the most in this game, the Oklahoma-Notre Dame? Was it Notre Dame's defense stopping Oklahoma, or was it Notre Dame scoring as many points as they did?
Well, I was certainly surprised. I mean, this is the first time this year they've scored, you know, over 20 points. You know, and this was their sort of breakout. I was surprised that Everett Golson played as much as he did in the game. I mean, recently came in really once to throw one pass when Golson was hurt. I was really surprised that Golson didn't turn the ball over in this game.
Yeah, I was questioning that decision to play in him, you know, and not letting the passing quarterback come in. But this guy, the play call in the Notre Dame was a lot more aggressive. And I said that on the show the other night, I think, is Notre Dame could be playing to their – not showing their hand yet until they have to. But, I mean, this guy is a good coach. Notre Dame's playing fundamentally sound football. Like Jason said earlier, they're playing great defense, which means they're going to be in every game they play. And now their offense is clicking. This looks like a different Notre Dame team, I mean, that I'm used to seeing, Trey.
Well, I mean, one of the things that you like to see in any kind of national championship type contender is, are they getting better? And you can't deny that Notre Dame is getting better each week. Each time you watch them, their offense looks a little bit better. I mean, it's been incremental at times. But the fact is they look better each week. And this week, and, of course, I know people in the chat room are talking about Manti Te'o. Well, of course, he's looked good every week, but and their defenses look good every week. But, you know, it's the offense which has to progress for this team for them to be in the national championship race and to be legitimate. And so they actually showed a little improvement, and that's what you need to see if you're Notre Dame.
Yeah, and, I picked against them. I really thought they would lose by at least a couple of touchdowns. I thought Oklahoma, but Stoops shows again, Trey, that he can't win the big ones, and if he would have won this game, it would have really propelled them up in the rankings. But let's waste no more time, Trey. We have Quinn on the line, the one and only Quinn Thomas, cross-country champion. How's it going, man?
It's going good. I really, yesterday was a good day, and then last night really topped it off. Getting told all week about how Notre Dame's defense was overrated and about how Oklahoma would carve up and put up a whole bunch of points. And, well, the exact opposite happened. I kept my mouth shut all week, and I let all the doubters talk and all the Oklahoma fans talk, and they got punched right in the mouth.
Yeah, they sure did. And, you know, looking at it, Notre Dame's defense, I mean, Oklahoma at home, their offense is a lot better than they usually are. So Notre Dame being able to shut down their offense on the road was the thing that really shocked me and impressed me the most. But, you know, every time I start, you know, talking up Oklahoma, they crash. So maybe I should start doing that every week, Quinn.
Yeah, what Kelly said in his post-game interview is the defense. They let Landry Jones pass for how many ever yards? They more played into the defense where they just didn't want to give up a big play, and that's what they did. Landry Jones passed for 350 yards, but no touchdowns, and I think that's what they'll use against USC with their explosive wide receivers and a good quarterback. They'll drop eight into coverage and only have three guys rush like they did against Oklahoma and just let them get 10 to 15-yard plays, and then when they get in their when they get in the red zone, just try and put the clamps on.
So, Quinn, I have a question, and this is just your observation. You're an SEC fan, too, with you pull for Auburn and Notre Dame. If Notre Dame, who do you want them to play in the national championship if they were to make it?
That's tough. I mean, it all depends how I look at it. If I want them to play the best, I probably want Alabama, but if I want them to have the best shot, I'd want Alabama and Oregon to lose and Kansas State to go undefeated, and then hoping that Notre Dame can go undefeated.
Yeah, so how do you think you match up with Bama? Put me a point spread on that game. If you were to play in Miami against Alabama, both teams undefeated, what would the point spread be in?
I would put it around, I'd probably say around 10 points. I think Notre Dame plays up front. They play a lot like an SEC team, I'd say, on both sides of the line. They really smash them out. The way Notre Dame runs the ball is pretty smash mouth. I think if Notre Dame got matched up against Alabama, that it wouldn't be any means by a blowout, but I'd put the line at about like 10.
Well, right now Alabama on the road in Baton Rouge is favored 10.5, so they're a top 5 team as well, so you might be right. I would probably put the line at about 14.5. It just depends on how you look and how Alabama looks the rest of the year. A lot could happen. But I know you're proud of your Notre Dame Irish. We've been trashing them all season, Quinn. I have to admit, Trey's been trashing your team all year long. And, Trey, you need to apologize to Quinn.
I'm not going to apologize. All I'm going to say is that Notre Dame is – I'm ready to now call them legitimate. So, I mean, they had to earn it, Carvin, based on what I'd seen previous. They have. So, you know, kudos to Notre Dame. They've actually been coached very well this year. And it looks like they're actually getting better on offense each week. So that's what they're going to need to win a national championship or a BCS bowl. But Notre Dame is absolutely legitimate. You got to give them credit.
Well, I still think there's a long way to go, Quinn. And Smelly says he's going to continue to trash your Notre Dame Fighting Irish.
Well, that's Smelly. He always does anything to get under my skin, so.
Yep. So, Quinn, congratulations on your win yesterday and your Bears victory today. And we look forward to hearing from you this week. So we do Wednesday and Sunday, so make sure you join us, bud.
I will. Thanks.
All right. Thanks, Quinn.
Bye.
All right, Trey. So what do you think the line would be on that game, Trey? Alabama,
17.
Notre Dame.
14 or 17.
Yeah, I said 14.5, and I would probably take Bama in that one, honestly. Notre Dame's a good football team right now, but are they on that level to play an SEC team like an Alabama, LSU? I mean, well, I just want to see them play just to see, but there's a lot to go over, you know, a lot to be played, Trey, on the field before we can see who plays for the national title. So any closing thoughts tonight before we go? I wanted to bring Tino on real quick before we went out. He wanted to talk about – there's Tino. Let me get Tino on the horn.
Tino,
are you there, buddy?
He wanted to talk about Tino.
He's going to have to go off, so please don't have the speaker on in the background. Any closing thoughts, Trey, before we go? This was a great show.
No, Peyton Manning is just tossed another touchdown to Decker. They're rolling against the Saints. So looks like Peyton is for sure back. Looks like Denver. I think Denver is going to pull away to win this division. Look for, if you have a fantasy team, look to start Decker and Thomas and Peyton Manning the rest of the way because their schedule really gets easier.
Yeah, and Lacey said she wants to talk about Auburn for a second. You know, Trey, 63-21. Were you surprised that Auburn gave up the most points that they haven't since 1907, I think, 1917, something like that?
Well, to Texas A&M, I am. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if it was a better team. But, you know, Texas A&M, they're a solid football team. But, you know, that, unfortunately for Auburn, they just didn't seem to progress any this week. And you know, they really made Texas A&M look a lot better, I think, than they are. Obviously, Manziel is a talented football kid, and he's going to be great in the future. But I didn't see them putting up 63 points this week.
Yeah, and Lacey wanted me to bring up, too, the death threats Gene Chizik and Trooper Taylor have gotten. You know, his mom just passed away, as Sonia mentioned, and Gene Chizik's getting death threats over a football game, Trey. Are you kidding me? Is this for real? That you low to try to put a death threat on somebody over a football game? Seriously?
Yeah, I mean, listen up, knuckleheads. I mean, if you happen to be watching our show and you're somebody who does that kind of stuff, I mean, you need to really move on, because I mean, that kind of stuff is that's not called for in any kind of sport. It is a sport. It's entertainment. If your team loses, certainly our entertainment value goes down. But I mean, these people are real too, and there's nothing that happens on the football field that deserves you threatening someone's life or their family. That's just ridiculous, and there's no place in this world for it.
Yeah, we're getting to the point now where. But here it is, Trey. These are the guys that are doing this that probably never even graduated high school, probably. And you know they never attended Auburn, probably never went to college. But, I mean, what makes you so crazy that you would end up – I mean, I won't even post negativity about a player on a message board. I mean, but these guys are going to try to kill somebody over a football game.
Yeah, I mean, it's one thing to give criticisms like, you know, hey, a player didn't play well, so they need to be benched, and that kind of stuff. I mean, it's one thing to do that. That's kind of what you buy into when you play these sports. But, attacking someone on a personal level, threatening, that kind of stuff, no way, Tarvin, no way, no how should that stuff ever happen. I mean, this is the kind of idiotic, you know, person that you know, poisons trees and does that kind of stuff. I mean, there's just no place. It's a sport. It's entertainment. Make sure you keep perspective. I mean, you know, you should go home to your family and hope maybe your life isn't so great if you're doing that kind of stuff. But, I mean, just ridiculous, Tarvin. No place for it.
Yeah, and, I love football just as much as anybody. I support my team. I'm disappointed when my team loses and when they don't do good. But, you know, let's go. Life goes on. The sun's coming up tomorrow. No matter who wins or loses, just look forward to next year. Keep supporting your team, but come on, let's get real, guys. But, hey, this has been a great show. We were staff picked, and tell everybody about our show, everybody listening. We want a lot more listeners in the chat room. Our chat room is probably by far the best on Blog Talk Radio. I've been to a lot of chat rooms just to check it out, and there's none, Trey, nothing like our chat room. So we thank everybody for coming out and supporting us. Go to blogtalkradio.com/Tarvino and follow us on Blog Talk Radio if you haven't already, and Twitter @WayInSports, and you can also go to facebook.com/WayInSportsTalk. I think it's WayInSportsTalk. I'm sorry. But Wednesday night show is going to be another good one. We got a lot to go over, some big games, especially focusing on the Oregon-Southern Cal game, the impact it's going to have. Alabama, LSU, there's some big games out there next weekend. I'm getting excited already, Trey.
Yeah, I mean, there's no secret. I'm going to go ahead and tell everybody now. LSU, Alabama is our number one game. There's no denying it. It's coming. This game has been the road that we've been down, and we've all seen where we're going. So it's time to get there. It's time to talk about this game. And I'm going to go ahead and preview Zach Mettenberger. I have not got your name right all season long, but if you beat Alabama, I promise you right now on this show, I will publicly apologize and get your name right for here on out if LSU can beat Alabama this week.
Yeah, and Tino's saying, too, that the people are coming on the chat room and inboxing people, telling them to come over to their show. I mean, that's not cool, really, but, hey, guys, I mean, if somebody wants you to listen to the show and you want to, feel more than free to listen. But you got to stay with me too, though. Don't leave me and Trey. We'll be very lonely if you leave us.
Then it just tells you just how good our fans are on this show and how important they are, that people are trying to recruit them out of our show because they realize that Jason, Sonia, Tino, Justin, Quinn, you're talking about, and I can go on and on, Lacey, these few people all, Chris Melly, Brian Burgess, these guys are here all the time, and so, they are awesome fans to have for any show, and we're very grateful to have them.
Yeah, everybody that ever listens to my show or comes into the chat room, peeks in, they're like, wow, you have a lot of listeners, and it seems like it goes up and up, and there's a lot of conversation, but most everybody on here, they know football and they know sports, and there's no bashing each other. We pick at each other sometimes. We have fun, but it's a very respectful chat room, and everybody respects each other, and that's what I love about it. I mean, if this chat room was just full of, cursing and putting people down, it wouldn't be as fun, but everybody feels comfortable coming into our chat room. But I did talk to someone out in California, Trey, that he said he was scared to death to even post in our chat room because of how intense college football is to a lot of our listeners. I thought that was funny.
Well, I mean, I think what you have to do is you have to know your stuff. I mean, there's been some folks who've come in our chat room before, and, this isn't amateur hour, unfortunately. Even our fans know more than most experts do, so I mean, you got to really bring your A game. If you want to post in our chat room, absolutely you should. I mean, and we welcome all new comments and new people. But, you got to know your football and you got to know your stuff because, the guys who I just mentioned, all of them, could easily be, talking about football with anybody because they know their stuff. So, we got folks who know every conference and every team just about, and that's the reason we talk about so many teams is we bring it. And so do the guys in the chat room.
Yes, Sonia says, don't come in here with no Google crap, she says. Tino, we love Tino. He's a great person. That's Sonia, Jason, Chris Melly, Lacey, Joshua Shaw, Tino, or he said that Drew, Brian Burgess, Dan Alley. We have a lot of people that really respect people and know sports. And, guys, we love doing the show because of this chat room. The first month or so of the show, I didn't even know about the chat room, really. And when we started doing it, it just made it a lot more fun. So keep supporting the show, and we'll do the best job we can to bring you, good sports news. And we always accept calls. So if you want to call in, be my guest. Come on and talk some football with us. But Trey, Wednesday night, 9 p.m. Eastern, a big show scheduled. Tino's going to be visiting us Wednesday night. He's got a little segment we're going to do with him every now and then. He's going to be venting a little bit, Trey. I'm kind of worried about Tino. I think he's about ready to go off the deep end with me.
Well, that's all right. I mean, Tino knows we look out for him. We made sure his shoestrings are gone and that kind of stuff for right now. But, want to hear from Tino. Want to hear from Jason Porter next week as well. Talk about his work in Ducks as well.
Yeah. Well, guys, great show tonight. And, again, thanks to everybody. Thank Mike Blanc for coming on, doing the interview with us. We had a great time doing that interview. I wish I'd have felt better, but it still was a great time. So everybody, 9 o'clock Eastern, Wednesday night, join us. And thanks, Blog Talk Radio, for staff picking our show. We'll see you Wednesday.